Hey everyone, welcome to another Tuesday REI Vault team huddle call. Today is Tuesday, May 5th, 2015, and welcome to the call with Chris Chico and Gary Boomershine. Excited to have you. The purpose of the call is just an opportunity to ask questions, open dialogue on any topic regarding real estate, a deal that you have that you're working on, that you need help on, ducks, whatever it might be, or questions around Podio or systems or training or VAs, anything that you have question on or are stuck and want some input or advice. You can always email, and we request that you always email support@salesteamlive.com with any technical questions in nature, and anything that is deal-related where you need help on a particular deal, I always email dealhelp@reivault.com. Chris and I do get emails occasionally directly to us or to team members, and that is we request always go to the support@salesteamlive.com email address so that we can effectively and quickly answer and get your question or change requests to the appropriate people in an efficient manner. So I apologize, my voice is a little scraggly today. We had a mastermind session. Chris and I were in Dallas with a handful of our members last week, and I came back with a little bit of a flu bug or something. So with that, Chris, you want to say hello, and if you've got any topics that you want to cover before we open up for questions. One last thing. If you have a question, we have everybody muted, and at some point we might unmute everyone if the questions aren't coming in. But you can press *5 on your phone, and we will see that where you put up your hand, and then we can bring you into the call, and you can ask the question. Just ask the question first versus the backstory, just so we can get through as much as possible. All right, Chris, welcome.
Hey, so I wanted to just talk about, you know, last week we had an opportunity to get together. Two things. Gary and I got together for a seminar that was a business seminar, not real estate related, which I thought was really, really great. My only negative I could say about the seminar is that I wish we would have gone sooner. The seminar is based on a book called The Rockefeller Habits. That was a book written many years ago, and the author redid the book to a version 2.0 and has called it, the book is called Scaling Up. It's called Mastering the Rockefeller Habits 2.0 and Scaling Up. And it's interesting because it was a business seminar. Nobody really there was a real estate investor outside of us. A lot of other different type of businesses were there. There was actually the Secretary of Education back when the years of Ronald Reagan were. So quite an interesting group of people there. And the guy that held the seminar, was the facilitator, is a business guy. He's went to Harvard, got a Harvard MBA, was a CEO of many companies, sold a company also as well. And it was interesting because it definitely gave us a different perspective. You know, all of us start off as an entrepreneur, finding that thing that makes us money, and that's how we begin our journey. And at some point, we have to then transition to a entrepreneur, solopreneur, to then being a business owner, business builder. And, you know, one of the things that you can struggle with is how do you make that transition? You know, the decisions you make and kind of what's the framework you use in order to get you from that solopreneur to the next phase. And I think I've walked away, and Gary might have a comment also or two on that, but I walked away with a framework, that I think Gary and I could use that framework for REI Vault, for the real estate business, and really a framework that can help us go to that, whatever that next level is that we want to as a business, right? So it's not just us, is we're putting together a team. And, you know, the other thing I walked away with is that it's not easy work. You know, a lot of times you hear pitches of the four-hour work week and about, you know, working off your laptop computer at Starbucks, et cetera. And, you know, there are a lot of disciplines required in order to grow a business. And this brought to me those up to the surface to let me know where we were and where we needed to be in terms of managing the team, managing our timelines, our deadlines, and being focused on what we want to do. And so I would definitely highly recommend it if you go to scalingup.com. That's the website of the seminar, and they have workshops everywhere, all across the country. I'm sure you can find one near you. And I would definitely say I highly recommend it, and I just wish we would have been able to go sooner. I have a few other things to make a comment about, but I'm not sure if you wanted to make a comment about the seminar, Gary, before I talk about the other two items.
I will. I'll add a couple things I think that would be of value for everybody. I actually think everybody in our group should go to, should actually get involved, read the book. There's also a website that I'll give to you right now. You can actually write this down. Gazelles.com, which is G is in Gary, AZELLES.com. And there's actually some Rockefeller Habits documents that I actually think all of us should be using. A couple interesting metrics that they shared. Less than 4% of all companies in America that start up ever, 4% ever reach over $1 million in revenue. And that's 4 out of 100. So 4 out of 100 companies that start ever make it to over $1 million. Then what happens is they call it the valley of death. To go from $1 million to $2 million, there's this valley of death, typically because of execution, a plan, cash, or your people. And so less than 0.4% ever get to $2 million. So that's 4 out of 1,000 companies ever make it to $2 million in revenue or greater. And then they go to the next valley of death and to get up to the $10 million mark. And there's only 17,000 companies. So the point was that, you know, just statistically, you know, chances of survival are slim, especially in a changing market. This particular event and their process is how to actually manage through those valleys of death. And I actually think the 4-hour work week is a bunch of nonsense. I think that it is doable, but you do have to have a team, and you have to have ridiculous people, and you've got to have ridiculous execution. You've got to have really good people. So one of the things that they talked about is you got your A and your B and your C players, and you should be constantly moving the C players out and raising the game. And so Chris and I in REI Vault, we're at an inflection point. And we actually the reason we went to Dallas, and we invited some people in our group to come join us, and some people did. And then the second day, that was last Wednesday, and then Thursday we had kind of a mastermind of working through stuff and kind of brainstorming the roadmap for REI Vault. And but there were a couple things that were interesting, and that's why I'd go out and read the book. If you feel like, you know, you're working too hard and you don't necessarily have everybody on the same page and you're not executing or you don't have the right people, I'd actually go do it. I'd go skip the book. I think I'd go out to Gazelles. I'd go and start reading a little of the Rockefeller Habits. But a couple of things were clear, and that is, you know, we all know it, but a lot of business entrepreneurs don't really have it, but a clear vision, a clear mission statement, core values that you live by, a 3-year plan, a 1-year plan, and a quarterly plan. And then more importantly, is not just having it, is does everybody on your team actually know it? And Chris and I were given at the very beginning of this event, they gave us a checklist of how are you operating as a well-performing business. There were like 40 questions. And everybody in the room, and the good news is almost every week, we had some very large companies in there, in this room, and most people were off, which is not uncommon. But out of the 40 questions, you know, Chris and I actually were able to check probably 3 boxes. So we realized that we're not performing. We've been going, we've had success, but, you know, we are working to add to our staff. We got about 25 people. We got our real estate business, and we have our performing, you know, REI Vault. We got a big roadmap. And so really having consistent vision and a plan. And, you know, what the quarterly plan is, and then is the team executing to it? The other thing, a couple other things for everybody, is really if you have staff members, everybody on the staff should have specific metrics. And really, what are their key performance indicators, KPIs, that they're managing to? Not just the projects, but when you hire somebody like a sales acquisition manager, or you got an operations manager, and a lot of us are working to do that, and some of you on this call actually have an incredible staff, and maybe you're performing perfectly and making all the money you want, or you got some improvements. So one of the things is to actually identify the specific metrics for each person and what that metric is. So if it's an acquisition manager, it's a particular amount of revenue, and a certain number of contracts that they're going to get signed, and a certain number, you know, whatever those four or five metrics are. So Chris and I are actually taking everybody on our staff and putting those together. The next thing, we're huddle calls. And so Rockefeller Habits, one of the things they do, and you know that Chris and I talk about, is huddle calls. Huddle calls, really, they should have daily huddle calls. With our REI Vault team, as an example, we have a weekly huddle call. And with our sales team doing real estate, we have daily huddle calls. But we actually found out that we're not doing it right. And the huddle call should be 7 minutes. It shouldn't be 45 minutes, and they should not be painful. They should be super simple. It should be required. You really should have a dial-in number, and they should start on time. And the other thing that we found is that they shouldn't start at like 10 a.m. in the morning. They should start a little off time, like 10:07. And so Chris and I just found that. We had our own huddle call, he and I. And so we actually do that at 1:07 now. And we have a dial-in number because what Chris and I have found is, you know, sometimes we're missing them or we're late. And so having everybody on the team, and sometimes different, you know, you might have a sales just for the sales team. You have a huddle call, it should be very simple. It is not to solve problems. There's three specific things that happen just to get on the same page. Number one is that each person should, what's up? So, you know, what's up? Just, you know, very quickly, it's not a two-hour discussion. It's like, you know, they're working on, you know, whatever the thing is, maybe a win, something they want to share from the previous day. Second thing, are there metrics? An update on their metrics. So if it's a salesperson, like, you know, I got another contract yesterday, or I got another, you know, three people. So they're very measurable in terms of that particular person. You got a large team, somebody in operations, somebody in sales, somebody in HR, whatever it might be. Each person should be updating in their particular metrics. And then the last thing they should cover are sucks, any particular suck that they have. Typically, where there's another person involved that they're stuck on. It just creates accountability. And it is not, there's got to be somebody that kind of runs that thing, so it is 7 minutes total. It's not, what Chris and I found in our own team is that sometimes these things go on exorbitantly long, and they become trying to problem solve, and they should not be problem-solving discussions. They should be, I got stuck, and you take it offline. It could happen after the call, but the stuff it's just an opportunity to continue to move towards making money and being more efficient. And so that was a big thing that we came out of that. Gazelles.com is a website with a bunch of free documents that have your vision document and execution plan. And I think that all of us, especially if you're trying to go to the next level, let's say you're making 200 grand and you're trying to get to $1 million, you really need to have that documented because the staffing requirements change. It's really easy to, you know, go for week to week and you kind of feel like you're running in circles. So anyway, that's what I got to share with.
The other things I wanted to just quickly cover, more of a tactical thing. You know, one of the guys there at the meeting was very aggressive in getting price reductions from sellers and going back for price reductions. And the example is that he gave as a tactical kind of example would be that he would wait until the very end.
Just to give more reference, somebody in the REI Vault group that works.
Somebody in the REI Vault group, correct. So the So instead of, let's say you have a, you know, most of the sellers, when they accept the contract, and, you know, they've pretty much cashed their check. They know what they're going to do with the money. And we do the best we can in order to, you know, sell the deal. But sometimes we fall short. Either A, we haven't been able to sell it, or B, we have a buyer in line that has made us an offer, but we bought the property for too much money. So we need a price reduction. So you can go after this. You can have that conversation with the seller at any time. What he does is that he just waits until the very, very last minute. When I say last minute, meaning right as the inspection period is ending, and says, "Hey, you know, we can't buy the house anymore, not at this price." And however, though, if you take X price, then we'll be able to do the deal. And actually, just to take that back, it actually goes a little bit, you know, you're getting close to the closing table. So I know that when I've done deals and it was right there closing in a couple of days and I had an issue come up, most of the time I give a concession because I want the deal to go through. I don't want to start from the very beginning. So take that into consideration. That's what he does, where he, you know, kind of waits until the, not the midnight hour, but close to it. And then at that point, then he says, "Hey, I can't do the deal. This price has to be this price." Now, someone could look at that and say, "Well, is that too aggressive, et cetera?" For what it's worth, it's a decision for you. However, though, like in our example, we had a couple of deals in Hollywood, Florida, that we had gotten offers on, but they were too high. And then we, through another advice that we got was to just tell the seller, instead of saying, "Hey, I need a price reduction," the dialogue with the seller is, "Hey, I need to send you a cancellation of contract. Where can I send that to?" And all of a sudden they're, "What do you mean you're canceling the contract? I don't understand. I thought we had a deal." "Well, here's the deal. It's a price issue, et cetera, et cetera." And in this particular example, the seller gave us a $30,000 discount. And again, just, I think it's a combination of approach. You're coming to them and saying, "Hey, I'm walking away from the deal. And we can't do the deal." So it's a bit of a stronger positioning on your side. And, you know, as you get closer and closer to that closing time frame, you know, seller wants to sell. He doesn't want to begin. They don't want to begin from scratch. And so then they're more likely to negotiate with you. And I'm not talking about, you know, you're making $30,000 on a deal, and right before closing, you're going to drop a bomb to the seller and then take another $10,000 off the table, right, for them, because you want to make $40,000, not $30,000. Really, I'm talking about deals that you're not able to do. That's it. Either that or you're not making any money because the price is too high. And whether the seller sells through you or to another wholesaler, they're going to have the same, or another investor, they're going to have the same issue. Price is going to be an issue. And so then at that point, then, you know, so that's what I really, what I'm talking about, is that when you're at the tail end and you really don't have any other options, then you might as well do the best you can and be aggressive, because you're also helping them. They don't want to put their house on the market. They don't want to go back through the whole process. So yes, you're helping yourself by putting a deal that wasn't in place, that you didn't have a deal before, but you're also helping the seller, because of the fact that, now they're able to, you know, sell the deal and continue on with the closing. So anyway, that was my comment. Gary, anything on you?
Yeah, a couple things. Couple quick things. There was some feedback, some ideas of one of the benefits of REI Vault is, you know, we got 150 people in this group, and the idea that came up is, how do we actually get connected? So it's not just Chris and I on some of these calls, but everybody, you know, we can get more connected. So we have the ability, and getting connected means, you know, there's a lot of different approaches, different things that are working, particularly around strategy and how we're either talking to sellers and or managing our sales team, or, you know, approaching offers. And how can we actually have more dialogue, so it's not just Chris and Gary on some of these calls, so we can actually share more information, so we're, you know, making more money as a group. And I don't think Chris and I have figured that out. So one of the ideas is a Facebook group, which we have the ability of doing immediately. We could have dialogues for people on Facebook and, you know, interact, and we can have threads on particular topics. That's one idea. Another idea would be to bring people onto this call and use it as an opportunity. You know, like, let me give you one example, and that is that you know, a lot of people in the last 3 or 4 years have been doing all cash offers. And it's kind of the one-trick pony approach. And that's been working. We make an all-cash offer, and typically it's a low offer, and sellers accept it. But what about offering owner financing, where, you know, you can come in with a $50,000 offer, all cash, close in, you know, 2 weeks, or, you know, a higher price offer where the seller will accept 0% financing, and how you can make a ton of money doing that. We have a number of people in our REI Vault group that do that and do that effectively. So how could we actually get that information shared? And, you know, the two, you know, Jim in North Carolina and Steve in Texas, Robert in Texas, are really good at that. And, you know, Chris, you've never done the owner financing model. I have. So how do we share that and collaborate and possibly figure out how to do it more effectively? And then in exchange, other people that are really good at managing a sales team or closing sellers or different approaches, how can we get that shared? So I would love if a few of you had some ideas you wanted to share or contribute to email suggestionbox@reivault.com. Because I'd love, I know, Jim, you're on this call. You're on this call live right now. Steve, you're on this call. Robert, I think you're on this call in Texas. I'd love to be able to bring you guys on and we have these dialogues. And so, anyway, we're looking for suggestions on that because I know that we want to make – one of the things we talked about last week is how to make this particular call a little bit more educational. And, you know, after 4 or 5 calls hearing the same old stuff, it, you know, it doesn't create necessarily all the value. So, you know, Chris and I want to add more value, and we're looking for ideas from all of you. And so Facebook – having a group where everybody can be connected is one thing we are going to roll out. And then the second is maybe having specific topics that are hot that people are interested in, and we can bring other people in the group to share what's working for them. We do have a tremendous amount of experience across this group. And, you know, the whole concept is how do we grow and do things, you know, by leveraging not only the systems and the marketing and the VAs and the staff, but how do we leverage each other and cross-learn of what's working best, especially as the market continues to evolve and change. So anyway, if you guys have specific recommendations, I'd love to hear them. Suggestionbox@reivault.com. If you wanted to press *5 and have that dialogue now, I'm open to it as well. But with that, Chris, you want to at least open up the – If anybody has specific questions, if you want to press *5, it could either be, you know, a recommendation that you'd like to see, or a particular topic that you'd like to have us have on one of these calls. Either of those, press *5. All right, bring Justin. Justin, you're live. Justin, it looks like are you in California right now, or?
I am ghosting from California. Yes, with my business.
Nice. I see your number. You got a different line. Looks like you're in Malaya.
Yes. So I guess the first, I've got a couple of short questions, but I guess before the question, I was just curious as to was the mastermind successful enough that you're going to try and do a follow-up one, and if so, did you have any tentative timetable and or geographic locales?
Was it successful? I'll just tell you a couple things. Putting one on is takes a lot of time and effort. And the second thing is we had cancellations. We had a lot of people. We had probably 5 people that said they were going to come, and even 2 people canceled last minute. And so, to be honest with you, in the morning, I told Chris, I don't really know if I actually want to do these in the future because
yeah.
A lot of effort. It took a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls, and corralling different people, and then a handful of people that I expected to come didn't show up. And so we'd definitely do them. We didn't charge for them. They're not cheap. You know, we booked a room and had a couple of really nice dinners. We would definitely be open to it. I mean, I told Chris when we first came together, I said what would be really good if we got enough of us, we could have an annual event. We could have vendors come. I don't want to have a pitch upon. I have no interest in putting together some sort of seminar event with a bunch of people parading across the stage selling stuff, right? But if we have, you know, a couple hundred of us, we could have a platinum type of an event where we could bring the cream of the crop, you know, data providers or who has tools or different techniques that could come and present to us. I would never make it a selling event. I did that with the last with the Bankers Code, and those were effective. You know, like for instance, how to really leverage a 401k and have your own 401k to be able to put deposits on property and make a massive amount of money. Load up your 401k, get rid of a IRA custodian, right, and bring some of the top people, some tax advisors in. On a lot of people that are wholesaling. You know, they're paying ordinary income. So what are some strategies you could have to manage, you know, taxes more appropriately? You know, maybe bookkeeping services. So I would love to do it. The challenge that I have is, you know, we have to plan them well in advance. And then, you know, there's the booking of the room. If I book a room with, you know, for a large conference room, I got to make sure that we've got people that are committed to coming. So I'm definitely open to it. I will tell you from last week, I was a little disappointed because I would have expected more people to come out. It was from an execution perspective, the people that came, we got good feedback. It was our first. I had the plan of what we were going to do for the day did definitely change because it was a smaller group. I was expecting about 58. I think I was expecting 18 people. I had 5 people literally cancel the day before, probably because. But, you know, during the first 5 hours of the day, it was an opportunity for the individuals to present their particular business and their 1 or 2 steps and then provide and then get feedback from others. And then the second part of the day was, and then we were also talking about seller financing. One of the hot topics that came up was different acquisition models of how to, what are other people doing besides making all cash offer. One topic was really managing an inside sales VA team. How do you hire the right VA? How do you keep them busy? How do you keep them trained? You know, do you make offers to sellers or you just have them cold call and qualify leads? We had Robert Nickel there who has a large VA staff. So people loved Robert because his content was phenomenal. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Maybe he's taking a nap.
Yeah, he's multitasking on something else.
Okay. Well, I mean, you don't need to go into – I guess, Gary, I can obviously tell that you're a little bit disappointed with the no-shows, but it sounds like you're at least keeping the possibility open of future get-togethers.
We'd definitely be open to it. If people wanted it, we'd put it together.
Okay,
cool. One thing we want to do is actually get everybody connected. I think there's a massive amount of value in sharing what's working and what's not and not having some sort of pitch upon.
Yeah. Okay. So – yes, I don't want to go and see, you know, Joe peddle his $997 course. So I have 2 questions for you. I'll go with this, what I believe to be the shortest one first. If I have the ability to cultivate my own list that I want to test out, is that as simple as just emailing support the Excel file and say, I want to add this into the rotation? Or is it more complex than that?
If you have a list that you want to do mailing to, and you want the sales team live team to actually do the mailing for you, yes. We're working right now to have a there's a whole bunch of specialty campaigns that we want to be able to provide, because I think we're going to be able to tap into a new national data provider for dead people. There were recently deceased lists, evictions, divorce, tax liens, judgments, FSBOs, estate sales, vacant properties, and probate. I think we have the list. There's a lot of moving parts on how to get that rolled out, and we're going to have a definition of what those are, and that is a very, very hot, active topic. We also think that with those lists, we may have a different way of driving those leads. We may not want to have those specialty lists go to a pre-recorded message. We may want to have them go directly to a live operator with a different marketing campaign, either a handwritten letter or a different postcard. We've seen a couple that have been really responsive, and we have them, and then to a live operator, and then called by a VA or somebody else. And so that's in process. That's probably one of the hottest new products that we're working on. If you have a marketing list that you want to have mailed, let's say it's tax leads or whatever it might be, Justin, and anybody, you can send an email with that list to support@salesteamlive.com, okay? And you should specify what the list is. You should give them the list and say, can you help me launch a campaign? And give as much detail as you have. Our team will probably make the recommendation based on the type of list of what marketing, what pieces of mail should be sent out to the seller. And whether it should go out on a monthly basis or every 2 months, the repetitive series, like probate, you really should mail a probate list 8 times, and you should really mail it once per month. And most of the specialty smaller lists should be on a monthly rotation. And then our team will actually help figure that out, and then they can implement it from there. They'll build a campaign plan, Justin, just like they do for everything else that you'll approve. It will have, like, the date and what it's going to look like. And then you'll approve it. We typically, if you're going to give us a list, and I might be going into a little bit too much detail, but I might as well do it. If you give our team a list, most likely we're going to set up a new phone number for that campaign, right? So if it's a tax lien list, we'll set up a custom phone number for all the sellers to call, and those leads will go into a new Podio app. So they're not going into the normal seller leads. They'll go into, let's say, a tax lien Podio app. And then we can also have the pre-recorded message set up if needed, and we can also have the VAs process those leads if needed. Okay, so those are the moving parts. All you need to do is send an email to support@salesteamlive.com, provide the list and as much detail as you possibly can, specifically about the list. Right? The next thing I'll share is if you have a custom marketing piece that you want to mail. The team can do that as well. We wouldn't recommend it. We'd recommend just letting our team tell you what we know is going to most likely work best. But if you did have a custom piece that you wanted to have mailed out, we can look at that. There may be a little bit of additional cost if it's custom because our mail house charges to get it set up and mailed for you. But just provide an email, be as specific as possible, and there will be a little bit of back and forth just to make sure that it's done right. Sound good?
Sounds great.
We have problem. We have no problem. The idea is if you have mailing that you want to have done, there's no problem having the team manage that for you. And they'll just come back. If you have your own list, it's going to be less expensive. It's not going to cost the same price per piece because we don't have to go buy the list. So the team will be able to come back and quote you on the cost. It could be as low as 41 cents a postcard. I think click-to-mail is 42 cents. Typically, just the postcard is usually less expensive than another service. But if you want the leads, if you want a phone number and all that stuff, and the messages transcribed and processed by the VAs, they'll just have to quote you and say, okay, here's what it's going to cost.
Okay. And then my other question, and Gary, I don't know if you're on the JV update email group. I know Chris's. I had sent in a question asking if anybody has a long-form sales letter geared towards sellers selling you their property via seller financing. And I'm wondering if you guys have one or have read one that you liked, or am I going to have to potentially write something myself?
We don't have one. I haven't seen one.
Say that again? No, a long-form sales letter.
What would be the media? Something you'd put in the mail? Or
something you would put in the mail.
I have not.
Why? Because it caught on postage?
No, I just haven't. I haven't seen one.
Okay.
I think that there's probably a better way to do it. I don't know if I put a long-form sales letter. You know, Jim, if you're on this call, you can press *5 if they know that you do a ton of seller financing. I would drive the seller first to call, okay? I wouldn't go out the gate with the seller financing postcard or something like that.
The reason I'm bringing this up, Gary, is that I've got a separate sub-list that it would be perfect for.
Yeah.
Well, I believe my hypothesis is it would be perfect for it, but I have to test it, obviously.
Yeah. I would get the seller to call, and then I would send them from that place. So get them to either call off of what we're sending them now, and I would actually give them something that's, you know, it's something of two offers or something, almost like a pre-sale type of package, where, you know, you could get them closer. You could get them the price that they're looking for if they would be a little flexible on payment terms, and have something like that, and then have the dialogue. But people are nervous just because they don't understand. But everybody I've talked to on this topic, Justin, this is a phone conversation or a live face to face, and not something you're going to be able to do from something in the mail. Something in the mail is the offer, if they be creative, maybe a letter of intent for having a conversation.
Okay.
Let me just hold on real quick. I think this may be... Actually, I'm going to bring on Jim here. Hey, Dolly, is that you?
Yeah, this is Jim.
Hey, so you do a lot of owner finance deals.
We do.
In terms of sending something in the mail on the front end, wouldn't you agree with me that it's typically a dialogue that you have to have either face-to-face or over the phone?
110%. We just want the phone to ring. And basically what we've done is what we found that works best is building rapport with them, and then just structuring the deal. But I would think your marketing piece and what y'all are sending now works perfect because, you know, the phones ring, and you're sending it to the right type of leads. You know, typically they're free and clear or high equity, what you're sending is working, and then it's just what you do with the leads all depends, you know, on your acquisition strategy. But, we've tried different mail pieces before, but what y'all are doing has worked the best that we've seen.
Richard Roop, and this goes all the way back to Jack Miller and all the guys, Lou Brown.
Sure.
We've tried a lot of different types of postcards to go down that owner financing path. And what I think everybody has realized, Justin, for everybody, is you really want to get the phone to ring. And then it really comes down to the dialogue with the seller, which is and multiple offers. So a lot of the time, and Jim, tell me if you would agree with this, but a lot of the time, it's how much it's coming up with the, you know, the seller may say they want 100 grand, but what are they going to do with 100 grand? It sometimes it turns out that they really only need $500 a month or $300
right.
a month.
Right.
And you may be able to structure your deal, which is if I could get you the price that you want and I was able to get you $300 a month, would you be happy? A lot of these people, you know, they're 7 years old and they actually are more worried about a tax issue. And so if you were paying them $300 a month, you know, that they could then pass on to their heirs, they're happy and they don't have the tax burden. So that's the discussion. And you do have to have rapport with these people. You got to get over the barrier of trust. And that's going to come with having a phone dialogue. There's nothing that you can put in paper. It's them first, you know, how do they come up with a number and why do they need it? A lot of these people will say it's because they don't want to pay taxes. And then, you know, okay, so if you didn't have to worry about the taxes, and you got the $100,000 price, and you got the $300 a month, and it was secure, would we have a deal? And a lot of times you'll get people to say yes. And then the next issue that you might have is this zero interest. Because we typically, and Jim, I would imagine most of your deals you'd structure zero interest, right?
Yes. Matter of fact, all of them.
All of them.
An occasional, but... but all of them, we just say, what we'll do is we'll structure, 3 to 4 offers and then we go meet with them and, you know, which one works best for them. And we'll present them all to them. And we, 9 times out of 10, we know which one they're going to take. Based on, you know, our previous conversation with them. And so we can kind of structure it around and play with it. But yeah, no, we never pay interest on a seller finance deal.
Right.
Yeah.
And would you agree?
I mean, it just works.
Would you typically, if you were to offer a couple of offers, the low offer, meaning price, is my price, your term. Which means
absolutely.
My price, your terms, meaning all cash. And then on the high end is your price, but my terms.
My
which
term.
Would be, you know, I'll give you the 100 grand, but it's going to be on a 30-year note, an installment note, at $300 a month, zero interest. And then the other two offers in the middle are just how to get somewhere between an all cash offer and an all terms offer. Right?
Right. Right, yeah, they might need, you know, some cash now, a couple thousand now, and then, you know, the rest over monthly payments for 15 years or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, you're absolutely right on top of it.
Right.
And, yeah, it really is just getting the phone to ring and then, you know, building rapport with them. And, you know, we try and find... you know, their hot button, if you will. What's their non-financial reason for wanting to sell the home? You know, if they want to, you know, move back to Texas where their grandkids are, then, you know, we'll push those issues a little bit. And, but yeah, it's worked great, and I would certainly incorporate it in.
Awesome. Justin, does this help? Might have muted Justin back to that early. Justin,
can you hear me, Gary?
Yeah, you're live again.
Yeah, guys, when you brought on Steve, it muted me out automatically. But, yes, that's a big help.
Okay.
good stuff. Jim, that's awesome. Since we're on the owner financing question, I know Steve Carlson's really good. We talked about this quite a bit last week in Dallas. And one of the things Steve does is Steve closes deals. He's really good at building rapport with the seller. And Steve will provide comps. He'll actually print out other properties that have sold and present that to the seller. That builds rapport. And then he'll also do an estimate that if somebody is trying to sell, many times people say, no, I'm just going to sell at full price retail. I'm going to do some fix-ups. And Steve will go ahead and do that analysis. He'll fill in a little spreadsheet calculator and present it to the seller. And that builds rapport and builds trust, right? And so there's a lot of people that all they're doing is they're making these all-cash offers, and, one out of 100 close. But they're missing the big opportunities because they're not building rapport and they're not kind of helping be part of the solution with the seller. And I think having an opportunity to make other types of offers makes a ton of sense. I think being a one-trick pony, we're really limiting ourselves. Chris and I are in a mastermind group with about 100 people, and we get together four times a year, and it was amazing. Even they're all well into the seven-figure enterprises, real estate investors that are making, they're doing 100 to 200 deals a year. And it was shocking to me how few people in that group really knew how to do owner financing and how simple it really is. It's not complicated.
Really? What do they do? I mean, does wholesale?
All cash.
Okay.
And now, these are a lot of rehabbers. A lot of rehabbers, a lot of turnkey investors.
Uh-huh.
But they're typically buying all cash. They'll come in and they'll write a seller a check, and they'll come in with financing at, 8 to 12%. And they'll fix up the property and they'll sell them. That's a very common thing. And it's like, man, if you could just get the seller to carry back at zero interest,
it's
a no-brainer.
Yeah, really. I got a course I can sell them. Wow, that's
sure there'll be a lot more discussion on this.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Jim, I'm going to put you back on hold here, or on mute, and
yep.
Hey, I'm going to bring Haynes in. Haynes, hold on real quick. All right, Haynes, you're live. Haynes, you there?
Hello.
Haynes,
hello.
How are you?
Yes. Hey, I've got some phone problems here, but I can barely hear you. But yeah, just had a mail out go out yesterday. Got delayed several days for, I guess, a glitch or whatever. But anyway, looking forward to working that one. It's just really about three times as big as the mailings we've done in the last couple of months. So looking forward to jumping on that.
Great. Any question you have? I saw that you put your
just not anything really specific. Just want to let you know I'm here. So that's it. Just hanging in there.
Excellent.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is, Haynes, can you guys hear me or no?
I can hear you.
Oh yeah. It just to be aggressive. The other thing I didn't mention was giving timelines to the sellers. Obviously you can't do it to everyone, but if you feel that hey. You got some close and putting the timeline in front of them and saying, I got this offer. You're making the offer. You need an answer in the next 24 to 48 hours because you got other properties you're looking at. You want to buy theirs. And, not be afraid to put a little bit of time pressure. People will just kind of let things simmer. So I would say just, be aggressive because there's other investors out there. And just to be aggressive with everything, making the offers, and doing the best you can to put these things on the contract.
Okay. Good advice.
Excellent. All right.
Keep us posted.
Hold. All right. You got a question? If you want to talk more about seller financing, or if you got another question, press star 5. I don't see any more questions.
No.
Yes. I think we'll probably end this call a little short. I'm going to put another request out to everybody if there's a specific topic that you want us to drill into deeper. And I think that seller financing is the topic. I think the second one is more discussion around talking to sellers and building rapport. I think there's a lot of missed opportunity because of those two things. People may not be professional and have a lot of experience in selling and missing the read on, you know, there's an old rule of sales, and it says if the seller's not pushing back, they're not buying. So the more questions, you know, if I'm talking to a seller and they're not saying anything, that's not a good signal. You want them to be asking the hard questions, because if they're asking the hard questions, those are some of the best deals. And a lot of it has to do with trust. Most of this is around trust. It's also identifying their hot buttons. Hot buttons typically mean problems. And Solomon said it the best. Jim said it the best. You know, people don't sell houses at 50 cents on the dollar unless they've got a particular problem. And they're not going to sell it to you unless they trust you. It's just, that's just typical sales. So you really, a lot of the questions that we ask, and a lot of those questions that are in Podio, are really designed around trying to find motivation and what the problem is. Right? Is it a bad tenant? Is it, like Jim said, somebody wants to move and be closer with their kids? Or their child was just, you know, their oldest was just in a motorcycle accident, and they need, you know, they need some funding to cover medical bills. And unless you're really asking questions, you're not going to find those out. And then you want to be part of the solution. Like, you know, just coming in and saying, hey, I'm going to offer you $50,000, all cash and clothes. You know, it's not, it might be the right answer, and it might be what you buy the property for. But you really want to understand what the problems are and try to build a solution that works for them. And all cash works. And if you learn how to do seller financing, all it is with seller financing, the big picture is it's just a few changes to the contract. And there may be some differences from state to state. I know North Carolina is going to be different from Texas, different from most of the other parts of the country. So the contract that we use may have some different terms. So, but, you know, a seller financing deal looks like this. You can come in, let's say the property is worth $100,000. You know, realistically, you might be able to come in and offer $40,000 all cash. Right? But you may be able to offer $70,000 or even higher, where the seller actually will carry back and they basically become the bank. And you offer, you know, you could structure a, does it really matter what the price is if you could get, you know, no payments for 2 years and then a couple hundred bucks a month and you're paying down principal so the payments are made? You can even sell that property just like you normally do. You could sell that to a rehabber. You could sell it. You know, I personally don't like tenants, but you can sell it to other, you know, you can sell it to other people, and you can actually continue to keep that note and use that for private money or lending or put it onto another deal. So I think that's the topic and or topics. And if you want to talk in more detail and we really focus on some of these calls in the future, send an email to suggestionbox@reivault.com of what the topic is. And Chris and I will, you know, work to identify a handful of people in our group that we can have the dialogue and figure out how to get more information out. All right, Chris, anything else? I don't see any other questions.
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, everyone, have a great week, and we will see you same time, same channel next week. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Thank you, guys.